Welcome to The Ultimate Guide to Partnering. In this podcast, Vince Menzione, a proven industry sales and partner executive, brings together technology leaders in this forum to discuss transformational trends and to deconstruct successful strategies to thrive and survive in the rapid age of cloud transformation. And now your host, Vince Menzione.
Welcome to The Ultimate Guide to Partnering. When I started The Ultimate Guide to Partnering, I set as my objective to inform the partner ecosystem on how to best engage with the technology giants. And I've had a very specific emphasis on my roots and my experience at Microsoft. But my goal all along has been to expand and explore the partner strategies of the other technology giants, how they view their partner ecosystems, and what they seek from, and what makes great partnerships. In this episode, I interview a partner leader at one of the other hyperscalers. And for those of you who are not in the tech space or wonder what that means, essentially there are only a few technology companies that have made the necessary or quantum investments in cloud infrastructures, data centers, networks, and the like that afford them the title hyperscaler. And the three most obvious are Amazon, Microsoft, and Google. In this interview, I focus on Google and a recent interview with Eric Rosenkranz, Google's cloud platform service partner leader for North America, and a former colleague of mine when we both worked for Microsoft. In this episode, Eric tells his story, shares his impression of Google's value proposition, its engineering and marketing strengths with our listeners, as well as his view of partnerships and teams. It's an excellent view for any partner who works with more than one of the technology giants or just wants to broaden their perspective. I hope you enjoy this episode. Eric, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Vince. Glad to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. You've got an interesting story here. We both worked together at Microsoft. You left about a year ago to join Google and to lead the partner strategy for North America for services partners for Google Cloud Platform. It's a great time now to have a conversation about the opportunity for partners in the ecosystem and talk about what you do. So welcome.
Well, first, it's great to chat with you, Vince, and thanks for welcoming me on your podcast. And I really enjoyed both my time working with you at Microsoft and more generally the nearly 15 years I spent there.
I wanted to jump right in here. And so for my first question, can you explain to our listeners in simple terms your role at Google and how your team is organized?
So I came to find an opportunity at Google after looking for an opportunity to get back to the East Coast. So I spent about the first decade of my career at Microsoft on the East Coast and then took on a corporate business development role where I led a lot of the ISV deal making and go-to-market activity. And so in looking for a way to get back East, I found a really interesting opportunity with Google Cloud, where I think there's a tremendous opportunity to look at all of the engineering quality that Google brings forward and help build a business front end and really expand the ecosystem of partners and bring Google Cloud to more customers and more partners. So I'm leading up the North America partner ecosystem team for services partners. Very specifically, these are regional system integrators in our taxonomy. So we have a number of global system integrators that are managed by a separate team. My team looks after regional system integrators and national system integrators that are headquartered in North America, largely clustered on the East Coast of the U.S. and in the central U.S. as well as Canada.
So those might be partners that maybe regional in nature, but also might have a national practice. And I think about some of the partners in the Microsoft nomenclature that fulfill that. Some of the national solution provider type partners fit into that bucket or category.
Absolutely, yeah. It represents partners that are doing systems integration work. Represents partners that are doing IT outsourcing work. It also represents partners that have been traditionally selling hardware and software, acting as resellers for hardware and software that are looking to broaden their portfolio and include cloud services in the mix.
How do you think about partners that build repeatable IP? They may not be the traditional ISVs or independent software vendors, but they have a repeatable set of IP that they provide to customers.
So I think it's an important differentiator for these services partners that they can certainly bring methodology to the table, which is one way of differentiating a services offering from competitors. But building repeatable IP is something that we really look for in services partners. And it's something that really leads to more solution-oriented conversations with customers.
And how does your team measure success with these partners?
Well, so for one, we're building the ecosystem. So the ecosystem isn't nearly complete in terms of what we want to get to. So we're measuring the folks in my organization on how they're finding, recruiting and onboarding the partners that we need to both fulfill the different scenarios that are important to our customers, as well as making sure that we have good diversity in our ecosystem in terms of geographic coverage, in terms of skill sets, in terms of representing the many things that our customers are looking for.
And does that also include vertical orientation, healthcare, government, those types of markets?
Absolutely. So vertical focus, really making sure that we have partners that can address very specific industry use cases is an important thing. Not just for us, but we see certainly our competitors doing the same in terms of making sure that the experts in a discrete industry use case can be fulfilled by the ecosystem. Because as a platform provider, we can't get to all of the unique industry use cases that are out there. And really, scaling through the channel is an important function.
I was wondering if you could take our listeners sort of through the value proposition, right? You've got three big players in this industry. It's closing in, as a matter of fact, as you start to think about it, right? Some others are falling by the wayside. How do customers and partners think or choose a Google Cloud offering over a competitive offering?
Well, so in my view, there are really only three hyperscale players, AWS, Microsoft, and Google, and I feel very fortunate to have now worked for two of them. So, there are other cloud players, but I see a separation growing between those top three players and the rest of the pack. So certainly the experience that AWS has and the early bets that AWS made on building out particularly infrastructure as a service, those have led to really dramatic success, which is great. And I look at that as AWS has done a good job of really training customers on the value of public cloud. With Microsoft and with Azure in particular, where I spent a number of years helping build the platform and helping build the ecosystem around it, there is some real big success in terms of creating coverage across a lot of different areas, not just infrastructure as a service, but many offerings and many sets of APIs that are valuable to customers. There's great coverage in terms of global geography. I think with Google, we have a few distinct advantages that I think will be really seen by the market increasingly over time. So one of them in particular is just the quality of the what I'll call engineering primitives. So the scale that Google builds at, not only to deliver services to our customers directly via cloud services, but really to deliver things like the search engine and like all the consumer facing offerings that we run at tremendous scale, those require solving some really hard computer science problems. And one of the things that I didn't really even fully appreciate until I got here was just the level of engineering talent that this organization attracts and retains. And so certainly the ability to bring in the top computer science talent from around the globe and mobilize them against really hard computer science problems, whether it's in the area of machine learning and artificial intelligence, or whether it's in the area of containers, for example. The not just the leadership in these areas become important, but also the contribution to the open source community is something that is viewed by customers as really key and really aligned to their long-term success. So I think the number of offerings and the geographic coverage you already see increasing. Certainly the leadership at our events and through our through our outreach, we've demonstrated a commitment to bringing more Google Cloud to more regions across the globe. We've really launched many new offerings here just even in the last 3 to 6 months. So I think engineering quality and just the talent that we bring forward is one big differentiator that I think is a long-term differentiator and something that brings value to our customers who want to solve problems like Google does.
Got it. And what other areas? I mean, I know on the container front, you've done some advanced work. Kubernetes is an area that I know was a focus and or is a focus with the company, correct?
It's not only a focus, but it's an area where Google really stepped out ahead of even the market understanding what containers are, because we had to solve that problem for our own use. So a lot of the open source contributions around containerization actually came from work that Google did in-house. Same thing in the area of machine learning and AI. So the work we've done to make it really much more simple for customers to adopt AI in their own environment through things like the TensorFlow project, which, as I understand it, is one of the most engaged projects on GitHub. We have a history of taking on big problems like that, solving them, contributing to the open source community, and really democratizing something that was a tremendously hard computer science problem, making it available for our partners to use to go out and solve problems, and also ultimately making it available for customers to take really complicated things and make them simple. A good example is the video API that we have brought to market, which allows, whether it's one of our system integrator partners or whether it's an end customer themselves, it allows you to do really complicated search of video streams to identify objects that appear in a video and classify them and train machine learning models. But you can do that by addressing an API. You no longer need to go write thousands or even millions of lines of code to go figure out how to solve that problem. We've solved that problem, made it available as an API, and you can take it forward and solve really challenging problems.
And was that an outgrowth of the YouTube business?
It was really a development that helped solve a number of problems for us internally, inclusive of the video work that we do. But it also is something that we see in terms of media opportunities and really customer demand signal. There's a tremendous amount of opportunity around that segment.
And you mentioned a project earlier. I wanted maybe to dive in there a little deeper for our listeners. Was it the TensorFlow program?
TensorFlow is really a collection of efforts around making machine learning both more adoptable by customers and partners, but it's also a core computer science endeavor that Google has really put some energy behind, including really looking at what is the hardware requirement and how can we even put together our own hardware configurations to make machine learning and AI more effective and run faster and produce better results.
Great. And we can provide some show notes for our listeners on that, right? For their consumption.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So let's talk about the type of partners you're looking for. What are the attributes you look for partners that you're recruiting into the ecosystem?
So I think in terms of partner categories, maybe I'll start there and then I can talk about attributes. So from a regional and national system integrator perspective, again, as I mentioned earlier, we really want to find partners that can solve discrete industry use cases and build a set of repeatable IP that can solve problems from one customer to the next and really take advantage of some of the unique API sets that we bring to bear and really the power of the platform. So we're looking for industry-specific expertise. We're looking for depth and breadth of cloud expertise. So we have partners that are working with other hyperscalers. We have partners that are doing hybrid cloud implementations. And we really welcome all of those folks because the work that they're doing looks a lot like what our customers are asking for. And we want to make sure Google Cloud is well represented in their portfolio of capabilities.
And the traditional markets, do you look at, I mean, I think a CMO is being a very strong market for Google, right? So is that a key market differentiator for you as well in terms of partnerships and going after certain vertical areas?
Absolutely. That's one area where we have existing relationships that are particularly strong because that is where a lot of the other side of our business focuses. And we understand the data flow and the business models and really understand where that budget sits within an end customer, probably better than the other two hyperscalers do, just based on our experience there.
And when you think about the characteristics of partners, what makes a great partner for Google? And, you know, in the time you've worked with them, what makes them so successful?
So I think there are things that make great partners globally, regardless of whether it's Google or another provider. So maybe I'll start with those, and then I'll talk about some Google unique elements. So I, first of all, the basis for partnership is grounded in trust and integrity. There's no matter how good the technical skills are, or no matter how strong the sales and go-to-market activity is, if you don't have trust and integrity, there's not much to build on. So we're looking for partners that do right by their customers, do right by their partners, and ultimately act in a way that we would want to act. So that's sort of the baseline. Above that, we're looking for partners that really have an underlying curiosity for how cloud can solve big problems for our mutual customers. And we look for partners that are investing in industry specific scenarios, really getting to know what are the problem sets that our mutual customers are facing and how does cloud uniquely solve them. We look for partners that have the technical capacity and also just the technical capability to go hire the right people that can understand the offerings that we bring forward and make the best use of them. We look for partners that are eager to invest in deliberate go-to-market activity. So we're not necessarily interested in just bringing Google Cloud to a partner and having us be a me-too offering. We want partners that can really understand the unique capability that we bring and some of the differentiators, some of which I mentioned earlier in the podcast around AI, around machine learning, around core infrastructure modernization, specifically looking at how containers can be used to just dramatically take costs out of the environment and improve performance. So there are a number of areas in which we're trying to match our unique differentiators to to partner skill sets.
Are there common myths that partners have about working with Google? I mean, you know, Google certainly has a big, it's a big brand, obviously. It's gotten a lot of recognition from consumers as well as enterprise. I'm just wondering if there are things that partners, when they come to the table with you, maybe have some fallacy about the working relationship.
So in my first couple of weeks, I went to a channel event, and this particular event was in Atlanta. And I started meeting with a number of system integrators and even some resellers. And so one of the things I heard pretty often, and again, this is going back almost a year ago, so this has changed a bit since then, but one of the things I heard pretty often was that folks were surprised that Google had a channel. That, you know, they, many of them were not even aware that we had a partnership program. And I think that's changed dramatically in the year that I've been here. And certainly it's due to investment from the leadership team and putting, building out this team in a bigger way. But that was something that actually surprised me. I thought that more folks were aware of the channel offering. There was a perception with some of the folks that I talked to around Google really preferring a direct model with customers, and they were not aware that Google even had a channel offering, which is something that is very much counter to what I see day to day. I've seen tremendous investment in building up a channel. But you know, a year ago, folks were not necessarily seeing that. And I think I've seen that change in the last 6 months in particular, now that we are getting our message out there and really talking to and onboarding more partners that are investing.
Like you, I was surprised to hear that from you as well, because I know that when we were both at the other company, we looked at Google's program and incentives program for partners with G Suite and, you know, thought, wow, we need to be doing some things differently here. So I guess I was surprised to hear that. What about the partnerships that have you had experiences thus far in your time and role where partners have failed working with Google? Have there been relationships that have not been successful, and why do you think that has happened?
So by and large, I have not seen any highly visible, you know, big disasters. You know, there have been bumps in the road here and there, but things have been generally smooth. I'll pull one experience out of the background, and this isn't specific to my Google experience, but this is just generally from my career. I've seen a couple of partnerships really face big challenges when expectations aren't lined up front. So if perhaps there's an expectation that partnership and channel participation means guaranteed lead flow or a specific business outcome that, you know, perhaps somebody in one of the organizations thought was going to happen, but was not an expectation that was consistent across both sides of the table. So one of the things that I do and that I ask my team to do is just really make sure that expectations are super clear up front in terms of the gives and the gets of the partnership. And, you know, even if there are painful conversations that need to happen conversations around the expectation reset, it's important to do that early and often rather than let things build up over time and address them later when it's perhaps more painful to wind back the expectation.
It's a great recommendation for all of our listeners, no matter who your technology giant or what side of the table you sit on, right? I think that's just great advice. Thank you. Let's talk about your job in particular. And what do you find to be the most fun aspect of the job for you?
I think the most fun aspect of the job is just seeing the value that we can bring as an organization, and seeing the excitement that builds as we get relationships spun up with these new partners. And also seeing the wins that are produced by the partners that we've onboarded. So that really keeps me energized and it keeps my team energized as well. So that piece is exciting. It's also exciting to be part of something that is growing so dramatically and really building momentum. I look at the really hard computer science problems that Google is solving, not just in the area of cloud in particular, but whether it's at the Alphabet level, looking at making self-driving cars a reality, or whether it's things like the Nest business, which I'm a passionate user of. These are things that were almost unimaginable going back 10, 20 years ago, and to know that we can bring the talent forward that can build these things and make them consumable across the world is amazing. And a lot of that same talent is working on the underlying cloud services that we can bring to customers, whether it's in the area of infrastructure, whether it's in the area of the data platform, or whether it's in the area of the APIs that we're creating to make things like AI much more consumable.
It's an exciting time we live in. You know, a lot of what you talked about is disruptive technologies, right? And disrupting markets. And that's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. And, I have had folks early on in my tenure at Google that have asked me, what do I think about the other two hyperscalers? And, how do we compete with them? And my answer has been pretty consistent, which is, hey, if you see AWS or Microsoft in an account, you should send them a thank you letter. They're really more like coalition partners than competitors, because the competition is all this on-prem legacy IT that represents really the bulk of the workloads that are still out there. So I view AWS and Microsoft as really, strangely, perhaps, partners in really transforming the IT landscape and transforming the enterprise estate of many of these customers to bring them into a new era of better productivity, really better use of their funding to produce bigger impact for their customers and ultimately bigger impact for their shareholders, or bigger impact if it's a government customer, better impact to the mission. So I know that's perhaps an alternative worldview, but I really do see it that way. I think each hyperscale player has unique things that they bring to the table, and certainly in many cases customers will end up with a multi-cloud environment. So I think the competition is really the on-prem legacy workload that is just draining money from our customers' pockets, and helping them move that into a much more modern set of capabilities that represents what the cloud can do.
I agree. I got to hear Satya Nadella talk last week at the Microsoft conference about the intelligent cloud and intelligent edge representing a $4.5 trillion opportunity for the marketplace. So I think your point is spot on. There's a lot of opportunity for each of the three hyperscale players out there.
Yeah, absolutely. No shortage of opportunity. And I think we'll find ourselves in many of the same accounts together as part of a multi-cloud strategy, working on discrete problem sets for customers, which is a good thing for everybody.
No doubt. Eric, as you know from listening to other episodes, I'm fascinated with how people got to this particular spot in life. And I like to focus some of the episode on the personal and professional journey. And I was hoping you might share with our listeners a little bit about your journey. How did you get started working in the tech space and working for tech giants? Could you talk our listeners through that a little bit?
Absolutely. So I've had a multi-stop journey along the way. So I like to joke that I started my career aiming to be a fighter pilot. So I watched Top Gun too many times and ended up going to school to be a pilot. and did that for a short period of time. But I ended up here in the DC area where I'm based, and spent some time really starting to unpack computer science and information systems as part of my undergrad, and just really built a fascination for what computing can do. And so I ended up finding an opportunity with a Microsoft partner shortly after my first job out of college. So initially, I was a software developer with PricewaterhouseCoopers. And I found a job with a Microsoft partner who I had interned for when I was in college, and really just was fascinated by the Microsoft ecosystem, and ultimately landed a role at Microsoft as an individual contributor seller. And I just had an amazing time, worked with a lot of really great people, got promoted at some point to lead a team in our aerospace and defense sector back then. And then found a role after about 10 years in the field. I found a role in our corporate business development group, which was pretty early days in the Azure business. And so now, you know, reading the headlines, Azure is very key to Microsoft's success. But when I joined the team, it was pretty early days. And so I had the experience of almost working for a startup within big Microsoft, which was an amazing experience. It was resourced tremendously well, and really had the backing of Satya even before he was the CEO of the company. So he was the president of server and tools at the time. So going through the experience of building something that was so core to Microsoft's current and future success was great. And you know, looking at what is the ecosystem that is needed, partnering with engineering, partnering with product marketing, just an amazing journey. And ultimately, I got promoted to lead the team that I was on there as well. And ultimately, I made a decision to come back to the East Coast for family reasons, and found the best way to do that happened to be to move externally. So I see the opportunity at Google to be slightly different, which is that the engineering quality is, in my view, first rate, and has the ability to just transform customer problem sets in a dramatic way, in the same way that Google has done in transforming other categories, whether it's in mobile phones or whether it's in the browser capability or whether it's in machine learning or containers. There's just when Google puts computer science expertise on a problem and then builds a business front end on it, things tend to happen. So I view the opportunity here as somewhat of going back to some of the ecosystem design work that had to be done in other roles that I've had. And so by no means are we starting from zero. We have an absolute, you know, running start with all the history of our G Suite partner program. We've had a GCP partner program for some time that has been growing and successful. So I viewed it as an opportunity to look at what we have here and grow it to the next level of scale, hopefully a step function level of scale, which is exactly what I've been asked to do.
Nice. And now you've worked for two of the most admired companies in the world. If you were giving advice to someone you were mentoring that wished to work for one of them, what would you say to them?
So I would say, first of all, there are a lot of similarities between Google and Microsoft from the perspective that both companies really care about their people. And that is a super important thing. So, you know, I don't know that that's advice per se, but it's just something that I've seen. Both companies really care about their people, take time to make sure they have the right people, and really have a ton of resources to make sure people can fulfill their full potential and can bring their full selves to work and achieve greatness. So I've just been fortunate to experience that now in two different places. In terms of In terms of one piece of advice, I would say one thing that I always convey to my team is understand where your superpowers are and really double down on them. Don't try and be an expert in everything across, you know, across the entire skill spectrum. I've seen people that rise up through the ranks. More often than not, they have a specific superpower that they really anchor themselves to, and then they find people around them that can do the things that perhaps they're not as strong at. So either they partner with those folks or they hire the right folks onto their team. So I would say understand what your superpower is and make sure that if you're trying to interview for and gain employment somewhere, whether it's Microsoft, Google, or really anywhere, make sure that you convey what your superpower is, something that stands out and something that you're going to really use to create unique impact.
That's great advice. I like that. Understand your superpower, which, and some people talk about strengths or simply strengths training. That reminds me quite a bit of that. But that's a great, great piece of advice. Let's shift a little bit here, but I still want to stay on your career. What about role models, either directly or indirectly? Do you have any? And what advice or attributes did you learn from them?
So I would say one of my role models is actually my wife. So she's the CEO of a company that she started, and I admire the way she just gets everything done. So she has the ability to balance much better than I do, the ability to balance lots of things on her plate, whether it's in business or life. And I look at the way she handles so many things and try and emulate that the best I can.
That's great. And I know she's in the political arena. We might want to have her on as a guest at some point in the future as well.
I'm sure she would be happy to. She does many interviews. So.
That's great. So what advice would you give that 20-year-old self who wanted to be a fighter pilot today?
You know, one of the things that I think about this with respect to my own kids as well, but one of the things pieces of advice I would convey is, you know, definitely don't expect your journey to take a deliberate, predictable path. You know, be open to change and learning as you go, and don't think that you have to have a journey that's wired tight and has to follow a certain direction. Because at certain stages of your career, you'll learn more about yourself and learn more about where you want to be, and that may be different from what you thought, you know, 5, 10, 15 years previous. So just keep an open mind. And another piece of advice, I've recently, in the last few years, I've become more into meditation, which is something that is very key to keeping yourself centered with all the tyranny of the urgent that happens, particularly in this fast-paced cloud business. So I advise anybody that is at any point in their journey to really focus on avoiding the temptation to multitask at every moment and really deliberately single tasking, which, you know, meditation is a very helpful tool to make sure that you can take time out to single task and get yourself centered. So those two things would be things that I would convey to my 20-year-old self and things that I plan to convey to my kids as well as they grow up.
And do you practice transcendental meditation or another form?
I actually have done many different types of meditation, and I also enjoy yoga as well. That's another thing that, you know, it's pretty hard to be responding to your phone, to email on your phone while you're doing yoga or while you're meditating. So it's good occasionally to shut things down and just focus on getting back inside your own head.
I agree. Okay, how about if you had a personal billboard in Washington, D.C. or Maryland, what would you say on it?
I would say, don't wait, meditate.
Don't wait, meditate. I like that. I'm a big fan as well and become a big fan of meditation myself, Eric. So I would agree with you there. I like that. I like that billboard. Might want to put it up here as well.
There you go.
Eric, I want to thank you so much for joining me today and for taking the time. A great personal story, a great business story, and I think a great opportunity for all of our partners and listeners out there. And we will provide, but what is your email address, if you don't mind sharing with me here for our listeners?
Yes, so my email address is ehr@google.com. So that's Echo Hotel Romeo at google.com.
And are there any social handles that people can follow you along on?
So certainly I'm up on LinkedIn, and I'm not so active on Twitter. I'm mostly following folks on Twitter, but LinkedIn, you can find me there, and I do keep pretty close with LinkedIn.
Good. And we'll provide those links in the show notes. Eric, thank you so much for joining today. Happy to have you on.
Great. Thank you, Vince.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Ultimate Guide to Partnering with your host, Vince Minzione, online at ultimateguidetopartnering.com and facebook.com/ultimateguidetopartnering. We'll catch you next time on The Ultimate Guide to Partnering.